Hey guys, this is Bad Carr, and I'm close personal friends with the Court of Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Court of Nerds, the podcast brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con, October 20th through the 22nd. 2017 at the DeVos Place. You can get ticket information online at grcomiccon.com and keep up with them as they keep announcing guests for the Batman the Animated Series mini reunion. Super cool stuff. I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
I'm John.
And we are here this week to talk to you. Well, Stacy, go Moneybags Miller over here, has got a rant she needs to go on.
Nobody calls me that.
Everyone calls you that all the time. Yeah, we're going to start now. You've got something you need to get off of your chest.
Yes, I do.
We're going to get to that later on in the podcast. But first, John's got the news.
This is the news. North Korea warns U.S. Oh, wrong news. My bad. Four. Ragnarok released its first teaser trailer for the highly anticipated third installment of the Thor trilogy.
Gothic Kate Blanchett, anyone?
Yes, please.
She looks to steal the show and our hearts with her portrayal as Hela, the Death Queen. Look for Thor Ragnarok to hit theaters this November. Our close personal friend, Scott Snyder, writer of Batman, AD, All-Star Batman, and Witches, has sent off the first new issue of Witches to artist Jock. Stephen Amell, via Twitter, announced that Manu Bennett will reprise his role as Deathstroke in the CW show Arrow, and Katrina Law to make her return to Star City as well for an epic Season 5 Nyssa Talia showdown.
Ooh-wee, give me some more of that, Katrina Law. She's such a nice lady.
She is, very nice. Beauty and the Beast closes in on $1 billion worldwide, as Ghost in the Shell drops over 60% in its second weekend and looks to be one of the biggest flops of 2017.
Wow.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2 officially goes backwards compatible for Xbox One.
Oh.
You can buy it now in the Xbox Store.
So many Call of Duty people are so excited.
60% off.
People are so excited about that.
Oh,
you know they are.
It's going to be great. Take this news with a big old grain of salt, but Star Wars Celebration starts April 13th, and BioWare may be working on a Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic game officially making the series canon. Hopefully, we hear something in the next few days. And other things to look for this week at Star Wars Celebration from John's rumor bin are the following.
You have a rumor bin now?
Star Wars Rebels announcement, perhaps pertaining to the return of Ahsoka, which has already been renewed for the fourth season. A live-action TV show announcement, hopefully Star Wars SVU. Just kidding.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
The Last Jedi teaser reveal, and what I hope to be an Obi-Wan standalone film starring Mr. I Have the High Ground himself, Ewan McGregor.
Now, this Obi-Wan standalone is something that's been rumored for a long time. This would just be the confirmation of that rumor, right?
Right, yeah. They would announce it and actually have like a title show up that's saying Obi-Wan like they did Han Solo last year.
Right.
Last year.
Would it be called The First Last Jedi?
Maybe. The Last Jedi actually is...
he's gonna school.
No, let it happen.
The title for The Last Jedi is more than one. It's what's the word? Can't think of it.
Jedi is plural. Oh,
so it's The Last Jedi, as in all of them, not just one.
Okay,
that got revealed when the Spanish poster was released because the plural for the is different in Spanish than it is English.
So right.
I don't know that. And for our first topic, Marvel has terminated artist Ardian Sayaf for hiding Islamic and anti-Semitic messages in this week's X-Men Gold number one. So let's begin with that, shall we?
Yeah, so this story has been developing for a few days now after the release of X-Men Gold number one last week, and people were pointing out that Sayaf had snuck in references to the Quran and I guess really political messages into X-Men Gold number one. Now, this is nothing new for the X-Men. They were originally launched as a team so that Marvel could tackle the issue of racism in comic books. That's always been a big theme with mutants. However, this was the artist's personal thing. The primary message was an image on Colossus's shirt that reads QS 551, a reference to chapter 5, verse 51 of the Quran. The common English translation is, "Oh, you who have believed, do not take the Jews and the Christians as allies. They are in fact allies of one another, and whoever is an ally to them among you, then indeed he is of them. Indeed, Allah guides not the wrongdoing people." this could be a reference, John, as you thought, to the fact that the leader of the X-Men is Kitty Pryde, who is Jewish. Mm-hmm. And it also is a reference to a situation going on in Indonesia. The number 212 was referenced as a protest that took place December 2, 2016, 212. An estimated 200,000 Indonesians marched against a politician leader. Now, Siaf has been terminated. His contract ended immediately. However, issues 2 and 3 of X-Men Gold are already at the printer with his artwork.
Yeah.
So we don't know if there's going to be more things slipped in, but Art, I keep mispronouncing his name.
I think it's Ardian.
Ardian released a statement on his own Facebook page saying, "Hello, worlds. My career is over now. It's the consequence what I did, and I take it. Please, no more mockery, debate, no more hate. I hope all in peace. In this last chance, I want to tell you the true meaning of the numbers 212 and QS551. It is number of justice. It is number of love. My love to Holy Quran. My love to the last prophet, the messenger. My love to Allah, the one God. My apologies for all the noise. Goodbye. May God bless you all. I love all of you." Now, there's no explanation there. And it's not like X-Men Gold is the first book the guy's ever worked on. This isn't some disposable artist that they just picked up out of nowhere. Siaf's previously worked for Dynamite, Dabble Bros, Panini, and he had an exclusive deal with DC Comics from 2009 to 2016.
Well, a lot of things, I read a lot of the Twitter reaction to it, and a lot of people were more shocked than anything, and it wasn't people like ripping him or anything. Well, some of it was, but like a couple that I read were just like, "Hey man, like, you know better than this. What were you kind of thinking?" And so I don't really know if like it's good or bad, because a lot of people like to put in their own twist on stuff. But when you're doing things like that, and apparently not good because you got immediately terminated, there should be, and there were, repercussions. So,
right. And G. Willow Wilson, who is the co-creator of Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, chimed in on it, explaining her version of the verse is, you know, it's a truly fantastical amount of bullshittery in the modern era. And that bullshittery takes on a particular flavor depending on the agenda of whoever is translating the verse. And bullshittery is not my word. Those are her words, exactly, from her post on her own website. She says, "To put it simply, the vast majority of Muslims around the world do not read the Quran in original Arabic. They read an interpretation rendered into their local language. And this is where the bullshittery starts." And she says a lot of the translation depends on who you ask. She went on to denounce, though, squarely denounce Siaf and what he was trying to achieve. She said, "He has committed career suicide. He will rapidly become irrelevant. His nonsense will continue to affect the scant handful of Muslims who have managed to carve out careers in comics. From what I can deduce off Facebook, it appears he's trying to claim the Charlie Hebdo defense, i.e., he doesn't mean anything by it. We just don't understand the nuance and subtlety of local bigotry. Much good may it do him. Goodbye, Ardian Siaf. We hardly knew ye, which is just as well." That G. Willow Wilson is arguably the most prominent Muslim in comics right now. She co-created a Muslim character who has taken the comic book world by storm. I mean, people are calling, they'd rather have a Miss Marvel movie than a Captain Marvel movie, because the character is so well written. And G. Willow Wilson is a phenomenal writer, so I'm going to take her side on this.
I totally agree with her. To say something like that, even in nuance, and then claim the argument of, "Oh, well, I didn't mean anything." It's like you don't understand the influence you're having on the people who are reading your comics, which influences them to do terrible, horrible, hateful things to people they just don't understand and have no care of trying to understand. So I completely agree with her. I think good riddance.
Yeah. And I have to say, I mean, this is a talented artist, and it's sad to see him do this. And I really like his X-Men. That's the sad part to me of all of this. I like that first issue of X-Men Gold. I liked the way he drew the characters.
And they got him for a reason.
Right. They went out and got this guy after his exclusive with DC ended for a reason. But now Marvel is going to have to scramble to get the 4, 5, and 6 done. And then they've announced an artist for issue 4, 5, and 6 will be drawn by RB Silva. 7, 8, and 9 will be drawn by Ken Lashley. but they're still going to be searching for a permanent replacement artist. And this is tough. This was supposed to be the big heralded relaunch of one of Marvel's top teams, of one of the biggest teams in all of comic books. And instead of celebrating it, we're now dealing with controversy because one man felt his message was more important than the message the X-Men have carried through their entire careers. So I just wanted to get that out there because sometimes the comic book world does cross over into this mainstream media and you see things like this happen and it's not the attention we want on the books that we love. And it's unfortunate, but hopefully people look at how swiftly Marvel took action after looking into it and you read what G. Willow Wilson wrote and you understand this is a guy who decided to take matters into his own hands for his own political agenda. And speaking of their own political agendas... It's time for Moneybags Miller and her ranty rants. John and I are going to go to Vault of Midnight and pick up some comic books. So.
No, you're not, because you're going to have to hold me back.
Hold me back.
So this is going to be our new segment. Hold me back with Moneybags Miller.
Oh, my God. That's still going to be my new name in the chats, isn't it?
It's already happening.
Damn it.
It's done.
All right. So I'm going to start this with a disclaimer that my love for Apple has run very deep in my life. And what has brought me to this point is a lot of stupidity and poor leadership. So I'm going
to... I like this podcast.
So this whole story, we're gonna take it back to the ye olde days.
Oh,
2004?
Beyond 2004.
Whoa, what is ye olde days for you, Stacey?
Like 2000.
Okay.
Or
let's go back to Stacey's old days.
Okay.
Back in time.
Thanks for the sound effects, guys.
2007.
Okay. My parents always had Windows machines. So my dad buys this Macintosh, and I'm like, this is stupid. I hate it. Well, and then I find myself playing this weird, like, pterodactyl game every night for like 3 weeks straight. And I'm like, all right, so this is pretty cool. Have had Macs ever since then. Bought a MacBook Pro back in college. Absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal machine that was innovative at the time. And it was powerful, okay? Shut up, you guys.
No, go,
not
talk.
A visual medium. Come
rant.
On.
Rant.
Okay. So this wonderful machine, I can't even look at you.
I'm sorry.
It's great. Right. And then they come out with this massive 27-inch iMac, okay? This thing is unreal. Professionals love it. Photographers like myself, the graphics are unreal.
Right. Our graphic designer, Jared, at Things That Make Marks, works on a Mac.
They're wonderful, okay? Well, fast forward to now. And I'm going to look to John here for a second. How are you enjoying all of the updates that have happened for your phone recently? Are they wonderful? Do you enjoy those?
I don't think I've actually done any because I don't
really
want to.
How do you like your Apple phone?
I love it, but it could be a lot better, and seeing things like the Samsung Galaxy S8 and this, well, even the 7 for that matter, these things are going obsolete, and it's just the same thing in the proprietary BS that they're putting out, and, like, everybody needs to just come together, do USB, the small one or something.
Yes, let's have dongles for everything. What a terrible word for those.
Like,
so these, the adapters.
Yeah. I'm more mad at AT&T, but that's a different day.
Yeah, that we'll talk about that later.
Ran for another day.
Okay, so it's basically the same old shit in a different package.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshittery, a little bit, if you will.
Yes, bullshittery.
It's a good word. A little bit bigger.
Willow Williams.
A little bit better of a camera.
G. Willow Wilson.
G. Willow Wilson. Yes, her. Okay, so it's the same old shit.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my issue. They have supposedly been innovative with their phones the last 3 or 4 years. Guess what they haven't been innovative with?
The iMac?
The iMac, but not only that, what do they do to the MacBook Pro? Let's talk about the MacBook Pro for a second.
Let's talk about it.
The emoji bar. That's what it's being called. The stupid little touch bar.
Oh, yeah. I saw that at Best Buy one day, and yeah. I was like, is this a selling point? Or people?
That's the kitschy shit that they're doing to try and keep customers. When I can go buy a Surface for less than the MacBook Pro, and I can actually interact with my computer, it can be a laptop, it can be a tablet. It can be whatever you want. Mac refuses to do that. They're stuck in this, oh, we got to have laptops, and then we got to have iPads, and we got to have iPad minis, and they've got all of these lines when I'm looking at them for innovation, but yet Microsoft which I wrote an article about the Surface Studio on courtofnerds.com.
The courtofnerds.com.
That talks about how amazing this product is. Not only is it bigger than the iMac, but it is far more innovative than anything that Apple has ever put out.
And interactive with the touchscreen and the tinting and everything as well.
And I'm thinking, man, if it weren't $3,000, I probably would have said screw you to Apple. Because here's the dilemma. People like me who use their computers for professional reasons.
Well, for graphic professional reasons.
Yes.
I mean, photo, video editing.
Yes. Anything that's graphic, any type of design. Mac was always the way to go. So here I am. I bought my machine in 2011. My graphics card is going out. Okay?
Yeah.
We're on the cusp of wedding season. The worst thing imaginable for a photographer is to have no computer to edit on. I am full digital. So if I don't have a machine, I don't get paid. So here's the problem.
You know Moneybags Miller, she got to get
paid. No, I got to get paid.
And then 6 years in computer language is like dog years.
Oh my gosh.
It's like 70 years.
Yes, it is old.
It's old.
So the last time that they updated the iMac was over 530 days ago. The average cycle for those is 317, which means they are super neglectful for just my iMac. But it's not just the iMac. They have been completely neglectful of all of their desktop computers. I've got the MacBook Air is over 750, average cycle 350. The Mac Mini is 887 with an average of 438. Worst of all, the Mac Pro, the penultimate machine.
That's my favorite word.
Over 1,100 days. So what the hell, Apple? Where is my iMac? Where is the Mac Pro? You have all of these people who are willing to pay boko bucks for stuff, and you keep coming out with new ways to package the same old freaking phones to the stupid people who are like, my 2-year contract is up. I'm going to get a new phone.
And there's AirPods, Stace. There's AirPods.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me. I wrote an article about those, too.
Where?
At thecourtofnerds.com.
All right.
So here's the dilemma. You've got a graphics card going out. I'm a professional. I need a machine. I can't have any downtime. But do I buy a 3-year-old computer that I'm going to have for the next 6 years? So it's going to be technologically nine years old. Or do I wait and potentially have a graphics card go out? Or do I say, I'm going to replace the graphics card for $200 and then it die in a week and now I'm out $200 and I still have to buy an old machine? Or do I just say, screw it, I'm going to go with Windows and get a Surface Studio and be a freaking badass while I'm editing and just call it good and say, screw you, Apple, you've lost my business? Because they're pissing off a lot of people, so much so that just in the last week, they did something they have never done before. And I don't know if you guys have ever paid attention to Apple stuff. They do not pre-announce squat.
No.
That's true. That's why everyone always tunes in when they have their big Apple Day announcement stuff. Yeah.
Because
it's this big deal. The next iPhone announcement.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all it is.
Is it going to be the exact same as the previous one?
They are a phone producer now. They don't produce anything innovative when it comes to computers, desktops, machines, nothing. It's no longer innovative.
So that's your biggest complaint, though, right? Just no new hardware, only software. Or did I say that backwards?
Well, they have new updates for their operating systems. And some of them have been fairly buggy, which is, you know, it's pretty reasonable. Everybody's is like that now. Windows has always been known for it. But it's more prevalent now with Apple. My beef is that they have been promising amazing desktops. I think Tim Cook is the one who said great desktops are in the works. And that was November, December somewhere. And here it is, mid-April. And now they did something that they've never done before. And they pre-announced that they're working on the desktops. And I'm like, so you guys, I'm clearly not the only one who is pissed about this. Because now you're messing with my business. I have to buy all new software because it's a totally different operating system. So now not only am I out $3,000 instead of $1,700, $1,800, I'm out $3,000 plus all of the software. Just the one software package I have for my Apple is almost $1,500. I'm not going to shell out another $1,500, but if they keep doing what they're doing and ignoring a core group of people who helped push them into everyone's houses like they have, they're going to lose a lot of loyal people, and it's seriously going to hurt them. That is my rant.
That's your rant?
They're still going to get that iPhone group, though. No matter what happens, people are going to line up for this stupid piece of crap. It's going to happen. See, my obvious thing was that when Apple started coming out with these, with the iPhones and iPads and things like that, that was their way to get into people's houses. Because most people wouldn't go to Best Buy or wherever and be like, I want a Mac for my home. Especially
too expensive for that.
Especially when they're not doing that. And they could get out of Best Buy at $500 and a PC that would be way more than they ever dreamed of needing to have for searching the internet for their dumb YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, most people, this was their way, iPhones and iPads, to get into people's houses. And maybe they are finally being like, well, now that we're in people's houses, let's make desktops.
To me, dividing way too much of their fronts on way too many projects, and they're not focusing on appeasing the core group of loyal users who are going to spend $3,000 on machines and tablets just so everything is linked together.
Well, the reason you used to buy an Apple, the reason you would buy a Mac back in the day was because it was the top of the line. I mean, it even for me, who most of my job is audio, you know, that was the top of the line program. It was you had a Mac to do, you know, Adobe and to do everything else. But now we're recording this on a wonderful Windows PC, which I will not lie to you is quite a few years old and still works phenomenally for me to do my job every day.
Windows has gotten it together. They really have.
Well, Windows used to be known for being glitchy and having crashes.
Buggy.
That was the big Mac selling point was they don't crash.
Yep, we don't crash, and we have no viruses.
Right.
And you cannot hack them. That was the appeal.
And
yes,
now,
they were more expensive, but it was worth it for the convenience.
For the safety. I mean, that's why parents would buy their kids Macs when they go to college. Like, well, even if you're looking at porn all night, you won't get any viruses with this. Well, you might get a virus, but it'd be from someone else in the room, not from the computer.
But
that appeal is gone now. You're right. I mean, John, you have a brand new laptop.
Yeah, love that, it.
What kind of laptop do you have?
It's a Dell.
Dude, he got a Dell.
Wonderful.
Wow. That was the old one.
Talk about going back to 02.
Right. What up? But, I mean, we were just, you know, I was just looking at computers last night because we have a very old Mac desktop.
Yes, you do.
And it barely functions. And I'm like, look, this is an eventual thing we're going to have to spend some money to replace. And I was like, we're not getting another Mac.
No, and that's the thing, like, for what you do, you guys probably get online to surf the internet, right?
Well, and I write articles from home, and I do website updates.
Buy a Chromebook. $250, you got a machine that's going to function for the next 3 or 4 years, no problem. And that's all you need it for.
Right.
And man, Google they figured it out. They found a niche user who, there's a ton of them, so they can support projects like that.
There's a ton of broke asses in this country.
Yeah.
And broke asses aren't about to drop $3,000 on a computer when it does nothing more than your current computer. Thanks to Google, you can network everything regardless of what computer you're using.
Yes.
Because you know what? Snooty people with money shouldn't be the only ones who can network their shit together. I'm sorry. Like, that was always, well, yeah, but my iPhone connects with the Apple Play in my car.
It's in the cloud now.
And it connects with my Mac at home. Really, how much did that iPhone and that Mac cost you? Well, like $5,000 combined. Dude, I'm a Samsung Galaxy guy. I was an early adopter of these things. I loved them when they came out. I'm about to upgrade my phone. I'm going to stick with a Samsung Galaxy. But Stacy, for you, I feel like the struggle is going to be, if you've been a Mac person your entire computer using life, that transition over is not easy.
It's not terribly difficult, though, because my work computer, this is the thing that was tricky. When I went from college to my desk job, that's when I found out just how much Windows has changed, because it was, 7 years in between me using a Windows machine and using it again. So I had this huge gap of being on a Mac, and it's a totally different way of organizing your files. Well, with the current changes in Windows, you know, after XP, it's kind of like things started to really change. for the better on the Windows side. So now when I go to find stuff on Windows, it's easy to find it rather than having to hunt through a ton of menus. So they found their weak spots, they attacked them, and they came up with something that was actually functional, which is that's what Macintosh had always, you know, touted about themselves as, it's so easy to use. And yeah, it really is easy to use. But Windows has fixed that. So for me, what is the draw to having a Mac if they're not going to care about me as a consumer when I'm ready to walk in there with $2,000 to buy a machine? Why am I less important than people who want to buy a phone?
Right. Well, and that's the thing. At what point did Apple start chasing profits and start chasing profits and stop chasing cutting edge technology?
John,
I'm gonna go ahead and say when Steve Jobs died.
There you go. Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
They got complacent.
It went to a completely different direction, the company did. And I get it. I get that you have stock and you need to please everybody. I understand. And they want to innovate in different areas. Talking about an Apple car, sure. I totally understand the earning potential for those is crazy. I get it. But you're alienating a core group of your market. And when you do that, you piss them off enough, even loyal people like me, like, why would they have announced what they did the way that they did if I'm not the only one who's doing this here? I'm not the only one who's pissed about it. You need to make sure that you're working on the things that the people who have made you who you are. That's like somebody pushing somebody to do a career, and then once somebody gets like really super famous, they just totally denounce somebody else, the person who helped them.
Well, it's the old saying, dance with the girl what brung you. You know?
Yeah, it's a betrayal. I hate to get melodramatic about it, but that's kind of what it feels like.
This whole thing has been kind of melodramatic, so why stop now?
You said you wanted me to rant.
I know, that's what a rant is. It's melodramatic and it's good stuff.
So if Apple can get their head out of their ass and give me something before August, because to me that's a school year, that's when everybody's going to college, you should probably have stuff for them to buy. So I'm hoping by August I don't have to figure out which path for me specifically is going to hurt the least, because I don't want to drop 3 G's on a machine that is way more machine than even I need, but they keep pissing me off. That's what I'm going to do.
There we go. That's Moneybags Miller with her hold me back rant. That's going to do it for us for Court of Nerds this week. Don't forget, we are the podcast brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con. Of course, we'll look forward to catching up with founder Mark Hodges again very, very soon. Be sure you like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter for up-to-the-minute announcements with who's coming. And don't forget, tickets October 20th through the 22nd at the DeVos Place. That being said, I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
And I am John.
We are your Court of Nerds.
You can find us on Facebook and follow all the things that we like at Court of Nerds. And follow us on Twitter at court_of_nerds. We're online at thecourtofnerds.com.